Welcome back to part two of your Leo reading for 2015-16. So I said we would begin with a discussion of Virgo. And let me begin by saying why Virgo is so significant to you. And that is because I think that in astrology, apart from one's own sun sign, especially when we're not working with the whole chart, but we're working with a kind of a shorthand version of that, using mainly the signs as the structure, that the second house is the next most significant sign to the first house. So if the first house says, I am, the second house says, I possess or I value. So it's about your possessions, but more, it's really about where your values and your resources meet. So your values are important because that's what guides you through existence. The values are the things that you, the ideas that you use to make your decisions. How do you know something is the right decision or a wrong decision? Well, hopefully you confirm that by checking in with your values. And you have Virgo on this house. This is an interesting sign to have there compared to the radiance of Leo. Virgo is a very understated and muted and mutable sign. And what Virgo here says is that, first of all, there is a practicality to who you are, especially if you tap into your actual values. Leo may have its, you know, long, beautiful hair and its, you know, desire to always shine and look good and all those textbook type things we learned about Leo. But then really the actual truth is that you identify with a pragmatic approach to existence. And it's important to remember this and to at least do a check through, you know, asking yourself, well, is this, you know, does this thing I want to do fit my inherently pragmatic reality? And if it doesn't, why am I kind of bending that rule? Or, you know, is it time to do something a little more extravagant? And so Virgo can act as a processing filter. And this is a good thing because Virgo is one of the signs that symbolizes applied intelligence. It's not about theory. Aquarius, for example, more about the theory of things. Virgo is about a practical approach. How does this serve, and what can we apply in intelligence to analyze and understand anything? And so we get the concept of service with Virgo, and we get the concept of applied intelligence. And so this is suggesting that one of the things you possess of the very greatest value is your intelligence, your ability to think. And I would say that, based on my experience on Earth, that most people have a greater ability to think than they actually use. They don't apply all of their intelligence. And this is something that is not for you. You need to apply all your intelligence all the time to every situation. And remember that this is how you make your world go. It is the thing you have. Your mind and what you've learned are your money in the bank, but that's only worth something if you use it. And the beautiful thing with intelligence is the more you use it, the more you have. It's not necessarily like money, where the more you spend it, the less you have. Rather, with intelligence, the more you spend it, the more you gain. Now, the other thing about Virgo, in addition to the pragmatism and intelligence, is there is a frugal quality to Virgo, and in some ways a self-limiting quality to Virgo. And it is essential that you see the ways in which this has been a factor in your life. And right now, Virgo is under a number of different influences. One of those influences, especially as I'm recording today on the second full day of Jupiter in Virgo, is a point called Trans-Pluto. I've been talking about this a bit, and you know, it's difficult to know who picks up on what article or what program, what podcast, or perhaps the Astrology for Artists reading. But in any event, Trans-Pluto is in your second house. Now, Trans-Pluto is a hypothetical point. It does not exist. It is purely a calculated thing. It is just a thing that astrologers use. It's a little like the part of fortune, though not a factor from traditional astrology. But I have found this to be a useful factor, and it is a very Virgo-ish factor. It takes 75 years to go through a sign. It's currently in the first degree of Virgo. It's going to be there. It's going to be in Virgo, through pretty much the end of the 21st century. So this is a thing that we'll have pretty much as long as we live, because it just arrived. And the implication here is that you may be challenged by a narrowing of your sense of your own resources, that you may be challenged by that increased frugality, and that you may be, in a sense, responding to your personal economic situation with fear, and that fear can have the effect of narrowing your view. And so I would recommend two things here, one of which is to do what you can to take a wide view, to expand your perspective on things, on your own life and on your own knowledge, and that you work to expand your knowledge, but also that you really put to work the flexibility of your mind, and that you look for other ways of seeing things, that you, rather than get stuck in a groove, a mental kind of mental groove, that you give yourself the opportunity to be more mobile, that you shift viewpoints more easily, that you look around and see things from other angles. Quite literally can mean taking an elevator to the top floor of a high building and looking down and seeing what you see, or a book you might read that changes your viewpoint, anything you can use to shift your perspective and to keep your perspective moving almost all the time, which will remind you the ways in which perhaps your perspective is not moving and the ways you need to stretch and expand. And speaking of stretching and expanding, this bit is coming from the ingress of Pluto into Virgo. Now, remember that most astrologers are not seeing Trans-Pluto. They don't look at this thing. They don't believe in it. In their minds, it doesn't even exist if they've even heard of it. However, there's a conjunction between the influence in astrology that expands things the very most and one of the ones that makes things stay narrow and small the very most. And there's some tension, therefore, between the expansion principle and the contraction principle, and that may be leading to some anxiety, to some tension, to some fear, where you are encouraging yourself to think bigger, and then at the same time, some voice comes in and says, no, nope, you can't really think bigger. You can't really do that. And I think that Jupiter has to be given more influence in this conjunction, given the fact that it's a traditional planet and that it's one of the most important traditional planets and represents benefit. You know, it represents a worldly viewpoint. It represents knowledge. And in your case, Jupiter represents what you find from the fifth house and what you find from the eighth house, the fifth being Sagittarius, which Jupiter is the traditional ruler of, and the eighth being Pisces, which Jupiter is a traditional ruler of. And this is saying that what you have now is an opportunity to connect with the resources of other people and your own ideas. So there's a meeting place where the concept of your resources meets with the concept of your ideas, your creativity, your that infinite well of Sagittarian creativity I was mentioning, plus Jupiter rules the eighth house for you. That's about the resources of other people. And so there is a need here, a description at least, an image of collaboration. And the collaboration pretty much takes place in your camp, on your terms. You get the use of the resources of others, and I suggest that you be open-minded about expanding your concepts and finding some ideas and some people and getting some real conversations going where the resources of others come into play in your life and in the projects that you want to do. So this is a very crucial thing that Jupiter represents, Jupiter in Virgo and the second house for you. Now, it is very likely that one of the people who's going to be the provider of resources is some form of a significant other, perhaps a spouse, perhaps the parent or grandparent of a marital partner, or perhaps just a serious long-term partner in some way. It's also possible that we'll be an investor of some kind. That if that's true for you, then, or if that's the kind of thing you would want, you might want to consider that. But what I'm suggesting is that you be open to all such influences, that you be open to all such possibilities, and that you not block off that possibility, not intentionally say, no, this is not going to happen, this can't happen, this is not the way that I do things, as a thought form, as a rule, as a kind of a personal law. Trans-Pluto might be saying, nope, I'm going to stop this. And Jupiter is saying, okay, you need to be open here. You need to expand your capacity for accepting, for receiving, for allowing resources to flow through you, whatever may be the source of those resources. Okay, so one of the ways I suggest that you work with this expansion principle is with the concept of generosity. Now, I think this is a crucial concept in just about every form of growth and personal development, and it would begin with generosity with yourself. Virgo on the second can talk about taking a kind of a frugal, self-sacrificing approach to yourself. And while there's definitely times when it's called for to be self-sacrificing, it better be for a pretty darn good cause. And my thought is that, apart from any really good causes, you might want to consider just the habituation of this concept of sacrifice and of self-sacrifice. And that is something that you can balance, I think, in a healthy way with generosity. Now, I want to look up the word generosity in the etymology dictionary. Generosity, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G. See what this word says. Let's see. Okay, generous. Now, this fits the Leo thing. Of noble birth, from Middle French, genereux, from 14th century, from Latin, generosus, of noble birth, figuratively magnanimous, generous, from genus, genitive form of generous, race and stock, secondary sense of unselfish, 1690s, plentiful, 1610s, in English, were present in French and Latin. Okay, so there is an implication here in generosity that you are claiming your noble birth, that you're claiming something of who you are by being generous. It seems to be connected to the concept of noblesse oblige, that one who is born of a noble stock needs to demonstrate their nobility in a tangible and concrete way by generosity. This has an energetic effect, I think. You really do have what you give. And one of the reasons that you give is to be reminded what you have, and also to be of service and support and to affirm others. And so what I'm suggesting here is that part of opening up to more, opening up to the expansion principle of Jupiter, will be about being generous. Now, there's a lot of tension about this in the world, and in many different cultures, including American culture, we're always taught to seek a bargain of some kind and to get it free if you can get it for free, because why pay for it? Well, there's reasons why you would pay for something. And one of the reasons is that you would value it. It's a little like, why not steal? I mean, after all, if no one's looking, you can get away with stealing something, right? But you wouldn't do that, most likely. And it's similar with bargain hunting and with withholding from the people who we value. And so what I'm suggesting here is, as an exercise in abundance and as an exercise in recognizing what you have, that you share generously, not necessarily with just your money, but I think that there are situations where sharing financially is the thing called for, but there's also sharing in your intelligence and your wisdom and your being willing to assist. You're being willing to assist others by taking on a certain mental burden of theirs for a while, helping them manage themselves in some way, or being willing to be supportive in the long term rather than just wiping your hands of something and saying that this is not my problem. But I would urge a level of real consciousness around transactions, around any time there is a transaction between people, whether the transaction is financial, whether other resources are involved, whether it is a sharing of knowledge or information, that you give generously and receive with a whole heart. And these come together. These situations are part of the same thing, because I've noticed just as much as many people are really unwilling to give generously, they are unwilling to receive the generosity of others. And I think that particularly with, you know, Jupiter, the ruler of your eighth house, the resources of others being in the eighth house for you, for all of us, but it's Pisces, that you be willing to receive. And that the real lesson here, the really challenging thing of this transit, 1 year transit, may very well be about the willingness to receive. Another suggestion I want to make in terms of the idea of sharing is that you share in the form of being transparent about who you are. We all know that you can always give less information or withhold completely or not say a word, and I'm suggesting that you be an unsealed letter, that you be the open book that you may have even defined as your definition of having integrity, and that you generously share of yourself in the form of the truth of yourself, the truth about yourself, including what you believe, what you think, what you understand, what you know, and that you overshare a little bit. The whole key to the small number of, well, approximately half of people who had Jupiter in Leo in their solar chart, solar return chart, that degree, that last degree of the zodiac about the unsealed letter is the degree that is highlighted and it is the moral of the story for Leo. And I say this recognizing how many people just become a steel trap and feel like anything is the last thing they want people to know about them. And I'm suggesting that the more people know about you, the more abundant you will feel and the more confident that you will feel. And I would suggest looking at the places in your life where you fear people knowing about you the very most. What is the most troubling, the most concerning, the most challenging thing for you to accept that someone might know about you? And I would ask you to ask yourself why that is so challenging, that is so troubling. Is it merely a matter of embarrassment? Is it a matter of if someone knew that, they would never, whatever, live with you, be with you, be your partner, whatever, the fear of those things? And how would you see this working out in the long run? What would be your, how, assuming that whatever it is that you don't reveal gets revealed, how would you do it? But I'm suggesting that you take charge of this whole journey, this whole experience of what you reveal about yourself, and that you err on the side of revealing. And this will have an energetic effect on you and will bring you closer to others and help cultivate trust where trust is a very vital thing. It may very well be that you are being entrusted with the secrets of others. That is one way to look at the ruler of the eighth house being in your second house. And I would propose that you are probably a very good guardian of the secrets of others, and that people willingly and generously extend that to you. You may have noticed this, and this is going to increase. Jupiter only arrived in Virgo, I think it was, what day is today's Wednesday? Was it Monday night or Tuesday morning? Not that long ago. It's going to be there for a year. We've just scratched the surface of Jupiter in Virgo. But over this coming year, notice the tendency of people to share information with you and to do so because they trust you. This is part of the overall process of sharing. This is part of the in total trust that others have in you and that they will put into you. Okay, so now there's more going on in Virgo. It's kind of a happening little place right now. One of the things in Virgo is Mercury, the ruler of Virgo, and that is just emphasizing the point that you are abundant in knowledge and that you trust and use your knowledge. And there's an indication here in the form of Juno in Virgo that, first of all, you are in possession of the knowledge of others. That kind of goes along with Jupiter in your sign, that you are having some ideas about social justice, that you have a concept of what you believe is right and true, and that you are willing to devote yourself to that particular value. And then there is a caution about being covetous and jealous. And of the forms of withholding that I think are the most dangerous, jealousy is one of them. And jealousy really is the withholding of love and the attempt to possess another person. And, you know, in the twisted way that our culture teaches us to do often very bad things, we're taught that it's normal and healthy to be jealous, and that it's normal and healthy to withhold love when appropriate, on this twisted definition, and furthermore, that partners are possessions. And this could come up a number of different ways this year, and I would suggest to you that you consider that idea carefully, that I personally do not believe that partners are possessions, that in partnership we must be willing to share of what we have willingly and sort of loan ourselves to one another, perhaps, but not to, you know, raise possessiveness to the level of religious fervor that it so often seems to be raised to, and that you consider how it is that you hold the people in your life. Now, the alternative reading on Juno in the second house is to demonstrate how much you value partners, to show them how much you actually care about them through sharing, through openness. I mean, one of the things I've learned, and I'm not sure I've ever seen this idea anywhere, and I wish I had, and if it doesn't exist anywhere nearby, I'm glad I'm the one who thought of it. But what I've noticed from taking care of people and from taking care of animals is that we tend to love what we take care of. And the more you want to love, I would suggest that the more you take care of people around you, and that you be willing to invest yourself, not again merely your money, your possessions, but yourself into the lives of others, and that you be generous with caring for them. And by caring for them, I really mean things like making them the food that they like, and making sure that that any need that you perceive that you can take care of without harming yourself in some way, that you are able to take care of that need, that you be able to open yourself up enough to give and notice the response that you have, tell me if I'm right here, of loving more. And, you know, you probably had a kitten or a puppy or adopted a dog or rescued a dog or had a child or adopted a child. You know, it's not merely that you take care of someone because you love them, but love is increased in the process of doing that caring. Okay, so Mr. Jupiter is going to be in your second house for a while, and one exciting thing about Mr. Jupiter in your second house is that it is going to be in relationship to major planets in the fifth house, Saturn in Sagittarius, and then also Jupiter in the eighth house. And so throughout 2016, much of 2015 into 2016, actually it's going to go on for quite a while and be the keynote of this solar year for you. And the main item that I do the 2016 annual reading, which by the way is called Vision Quest, is that there is a complex aspect, and the complex aspect involves Jupiter in your second house opposite Neptune in your eighth house. We've talked a lot about Jupiter in the second. We haven't mentioned Neptune in the eighth. And Neptune in the eighth is a kind of an opening through which anything can pretty much come or go. And that is insisting on real clarity. Jupiter in the eighth house is talking about the need for what you might think of as contractual clarity. And, you know, you may notice if you know, deals or relationships don't work out, that involved some form of a lack of clarity or lack of real understanding of the terms. And it's up to you to maintain awareness of those terms. You may also feel unusually close to your ancestors for quite a while here with Jupiter in the eighth house. This is a long transit, one of the longest sign transits in the sky right now. In other words, when all the other planets have moved on and Jupiter, Pluto is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Taurus and all that, Neptune will still be in Pisces. And so there is a closeness to, the people who have come before you. And I suggest that you tap into that, that you make contact with them, that you engage with the supposedly dead in a friendly way, and that you kind of mingle your energy with that of the other dimension. Now, this Jupiter-Neptune opposition can be at times a little bit difficult to get a grasp on, but we're going to have Saturn in Sagittarius, your fifth house, which I mentioned briefly, involved in that. And this is to suggest that the tangibility factor is one of the most important things that you can do, that all of this exchange of resources, knowledge, caring, contact with beyond contact with the ancestors, all of this really points to one thing, which is focus on making what you want to make in life. Saturn and Leo have a lot in common, and many Leonine people are also very Saturnian. They have a strong kind of Saturn-like quality. And so I think that in some places, kind of celebratory is your fifth house, that Saturn could work in there very well, particularly if you devote yourself to this process of grounding your vision, of taking an idea and then fabricating it, making it, rather than just sort of letting it float around in the ethers and letting it kind of be a hope or a dream or a possibility or a potential, that you give yourself the opportunity and take the chance of actually grounding, making your best ideas into your any ideas really into something that is real. And what you're going to do in the process of doing that is tap into the power of Jupiter and the power of Neptune. And there may certainly be a kind of an awkwardness about that making, but this is true of any real invention. The thing doesn't exist yet. And so if you find yourself in that territory where you really don't understand how it is you're going to do what you're going to do, how it is you're going to become what you want to become or create what you want to create, remember that there can be this somewhat like oil and water sensation of making things that don't exist, and that what you're really kind of creating is a process of making an emulsion, a process of making something that is new, a new substance. And that takes focus, and it takes literally the conscious allocation of time and space to do things. And anytime you want to do something challenging, which you are being called upon to do, I mean, you really are being invited by this diversity of factors to take a real step up in the world and make yourself into what you really are. And that looks to me like it involves making yourself into the maker of what you want to make, into the creator of what you want to create, and of being able to tap your whatever this mystical creative source is in a grounded way into space and time, physical space, meaning a room, a table, a desk, an apartment, a house, a studio, a yard, a garage, the shed, whatever it might be, and the time, meaning between 7 and 8 every morning, between 10 o'clock and midnight, meaning every day at noon, meaning 3 piano lessons a week, meaning whatever it might mean, that you work with space and time as a way to have an active laboratory, working space, studio space of this creation. And remember that the thing that you are ultimately creating is yourself. And this process that I began with of integrating your 10th house ruler, Venus, into yourself, Leo, conjunct the sun, with this powerful new moon happening right at the same time, all at the same time, right? This is quite a wild solar return that you are having. It is like none other, especially given the Grand Trine and T-square and so much else going on. These three planets I just mentioned in Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, you need space and time to do this. It's not necessarily need to be a lot of space and time, but it needs to be wisely allocated and as undistracted as possible space and time. It does not take a lot of time to create things, to do things, but it does take focused, concentrated time to create them and to do them and to, give yourself the kind of protected opportunity that you need to become who it is that you are becoming, which is an expression of what you are on a deep level that you are merely allowing to kind of fill up all of the different dimensions of who you are. And then, experience by experience, you deliver yourself to this, you have this new approach to doing things, and then everything that you encounter, with the new approach to doing things, or you would at least run it through that and say, okay, how am I going to try this? What is, if I have this new approach, and that new approach involves, for example, generosity and the exchange of resources and the exchange of knowledge, what's the way to do this in the new way, and how does that compare to the old way? So that is what I have to say for this section. In the third section, I will do astrology afterthoughts. I like to sleep on that. So today's Wednesday. I'm going to resume sometime tomorrow morning, and will then send this out to you. But I'll resume with astrology afterthoughts, the things I didn't think of to say, which usually come percolating out of my unconscious mind. And then I will do a tarot spread using the Voyager Tarot by James Wanless, my favorite deck to work with other people, because it's a very generous deck, as is Dr. Wanless, a generous person with his knowledge, and I will offer the tarot reading in that spirit. So I leave you for the moment, and I'll be back in a digital instant.